cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll read Isaiah from chapter 53 from verse 1. It says, who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, as often as you do show the Lord's death till he comes. I thank God for the season of Easter, because sometimes it brings the reality of, or the impression of Jesus, what he actually did. We are talking about a man here. It wasn't some kind of, you know, extraterrestrial in the flesh. He had the same flesh you have. He felt the same things you feel. He feels pain. He felt every pain. Everything. But the Bible says there was a goal in mind, an end in mind, why he allowed himself to be put through all that. And I don't know, just tonight I just feel strongly that we should just pray with some appreciation tonight. For trust me, you don't know what you don't know. You have no idea. I mean, you can imagine it. You can. And not just talking about the physical beating and all that. You know what he went through within, for him to bear the sins of the world, the righteous Son of God, who came down from glory, the Son of the Father in verity, in truth and verity. He was the Son of God, really. He was. I want us to just I don't know, whatever you want to do, just appreciate, just pray, and just allow your heart to just absorb the weight of meaning, the implication of what of his life and his death.
If not for you, O God.
I want you to just picture who you will be, your hope, your life without him. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you this evening. We honor you. You are actually the author of salvation. You are the one. You are the one who released your Son to us. You hatched the plan to save us. Father, we thank you because you are a good Father. You are. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Father, all we have, we do because of you. We have because of you. Without you, we will have all our possessions will be just vanity. We'll be full of things that worth nothing, that amount to nothing. But Father, because of you, we bless you, because you've given us all things freely, 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 Father. We thank you, Jesus. It says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Thank you, Father, because you are not variable, because you are constant, you do not change. We bless you. But very often we speak of the Lord at this time, and we should speak of him, but we should speak of you as well. You are the author, you started all this. Redemption flows from you. Salvation flows from you. You are the author of everything. The author of our life. You are the one who breathed into us to recreate our spirit. You are the one who gave birth to us, who made up. You are the maker of the new creation. Even Jesus was helpless without you in death. You are the one who raised him from the grave. Your glory raised him from the dead. Our Father, we thank you. You are the reason behind everything. We worship you at this time, Lord. Father, you are a wonder, even in heaven. You alone can cause a man to sit on the throne of the majesty on high. We give you glory tonight. We bless you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his life. Thank you for gift of righteousness. Thank you for abundance of grace. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. We honor you at this time.
Meshani kali kaina no ina shi kaina na tisaina no tusanaina mekinaina no konton susena kila kate yibusha ni katisa seneina no duzata tate kemaina maika hayema ni kama tusa besekitarabu kumusa tana ni kitene itene naina no tukala katisa sekaya kila katisa na tusani neina no shuse Nekila kado susati kare bosu Mekene no hina tate radisa Lema naipa nika tosuse Ma inana tale batisa Na inana falika tosu Semene shene metisa inano kontosi Mene zise ina Ima natana ina mafana Nakale kete seti ebesi Renana to Salima Natose, Nasekita Rabasina Nati, Rati Sana not to say Meneshenina Kalika Tosoina, Nemenesenina, Mekena Nata Tete Yabasa, Disana Tuni Mani, Mana Naina Nati, Menikete Lebese Sisa, Mesena no Shusale Pataira Kamanasi, Masina. I'm not.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you. May the Lord say that my son is an offering of life to you. He's my offering of life to you. And you will do well to receive him with meekness. No one comes to me except by him. You won't get to me unless you finish his course. Everything which he purchased for man shall be delivered to man. And until that delivery is complete, man will not come to fullness of redemption. So begin to incline more and take the more earnest heed to these things. As the life which is in the Son is being delivered to you, so yourself. He has been given so you can give your own life in following his steps. And he came to show the path to salvation. May this season be a reminder for you of your own responsibility in the program of redemption. Because I am faithful. I am the Lord. I am faithful. And you can't fault me. Receive all that I have brought to you, because it has come at a great price. Don't neglect anything. It has come at a great price, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Mercy alone, Estefan, precious Stefan. Just begin to pray and just say to the Lord, breathe upon me tonight. I want a breath from heaven. I want a breath from above. Just breathe upon my heart. Just breathe your breath of life. There is a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Lord, inspire my heart to catch your breath, to receive life in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We just yield to you in this moment. We ask that you will come and teach us. These are things we don't know. We actually don't know them. So, Father, we in meekness and humility, God, we are desiring to know things which were produced in the secret chambers in communication between the Godhead. These are weighty things to understand. So, Father, we ask that you will help us and guide us. We are only here because you've said you desire to show them to us. And that's what has brought us again tonight. We are just trying to be faithful, Lord, showing up, appearing week after week to hear your word. Father, we ask that because you said you are faithful, Lord, just let your faithfulness appear again and just come. Let tender mercy from on high, that tender mercies, the day spring, may bring visitation from heaven. Let light shine, let there be illumination, let there be divine ability, Father, to see deeper, to understand more. Let there be clarity, let light be shed on secret things. Father, we pray tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God, the unveiler of truth. Reveal yourself and reveal the Father, because he is in you. The Son, they are in you. They are hiding in you, Holy Ghost. Come and open up the word to us. Take us beyond the letter. Open the spirit to us. Let doors be open in the spirit for us to walk through, to find ancient paths in the word. Father, thank you. We come with our vessels, which is our heart, to drink, to fetch of your fountain and to drink. Thank you, Father. We bless your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Time is already fast spent, but I won't worry too much. Amen. I believe there are things that the Lord just wants to say to us in this season, and they're important. Praise God. I think from last week we've been learning about the Word of God. I think. We spoke about the water of the world, the blood, right? What was the emphasis last week? Can anyone remember?
Abiding.
Priest. What, abiding?
Living.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, living and abiding through the word, right? So, you see, the blood of Jesus, that's one of the things that he mentioned in that 1 Corinthians 15 where we read, 1 Corinthians 11 where we read, that was Paul giving narration. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen.
Amen.
By God's grace, we'll just try over the next couple of days to understand redemption. First Corinthians 11. Verse 23. Jimmy. Yeah. Yeah.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you,
okay,
that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Yeah.
This do in remembrance of me.
Mm.
After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Yeah.
This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus made mention of his blood. Paul was describing what he received. You know, Paul said, I have received of the Lord, right? That which I also delivered unto you. So this was Paul, right? And you know, Paul wasn't there that night, right? Paul was not there that night. It was just the 12, okay, including Judas, all the 12 disciples were with Jesus. Paul wasn't there. Paul was still a wicked man. He hadn't, you know, he was still a Pharisee at this point. So for him to say that which I received, you know, he didn't say we received. He said I. So personally, it means that he also, right, must have had this kind of encounter with the Lord. You know, when the Lord appeared to him, right, on the way to Damascus, one of the things that the Lord said to him was, I will come back again. I will continue to appear to you, right? So I believe the Lord must have appeared to him multiple times, and Jesus must have taught Paul the scriptures. Praise the Lord. You know Jesus' nature. You know, after he resurrected, you know, when he appeared, for example, to those two guys on the way to Emmaus, who were just arguing on the road, and then he, as they were arguing, right, he came to their midst, and then he began to speak to them about what happened. So they had some points they couldn't, you know, put together. So he began to explain to them. The Bible says he started from the law and the prophets. and began to explain to them the through the scriptures, the things that happened. So he explained himself to them. Amen. So that's Jesus' nature. And that's one thing I know the Lord will begin to instill in us, to begin to understand the weight of the Holy Scriptures. You know, what Jesus wanted to do at that point was to reveal himself to them, right? Because they were arguing about him. You know, that he resurrected, did he resurrect, did he not resurrect, and all that kind of stuff. You know, they were just arguing. Praise the Lord. So Jesus went to clarify, but he didn't just appear and say, I am the one, and then you see the glory and everything. He could have done that, but he didn't choose that way. Because if he had done that, he could appear, and then he would go away, and they might still be arguing. You understand? Because that appearance, a physical appearance like that of Jesus, maybe he would tell them, put your hand here, put your hand in my hand, and then prove to them with his hands, right? You know, he had all the evidences with him. Mm-hmm. As he was walking with them, the evidences were in his body. The same way he went to Thomas, doubting Thomas, and showed him, put your hand here, and everything. He could have just showed them the evidence, but he didn't choose that route. That's the nature of that's a New Testament nature or behavior. That's a, when you find a New Testament person, someone who the spirit of the New Testament has rubbed on them, they are not spectacular people. They don't look for spectacular stuff as validation. Because what makes them New Testament folks, they understand the principle of the New Testament, that the New Testament came out of the law and the prophets. So there's a discipline of the scripture embedded within the New Testament life. Amen. Amen. So, and Jesus began to model that. He began to model it. So he took them, he went with them, eating with them, and then he began to show them from where? The law and the prophet means he opened Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. No, he began to, you know, teach them. He must have gone to Isaiah, the prophecy concerning him. And as he was speaking to them, he took bread. As he broke the bread, they realized, wow, this is him. That, wow, this is him. It wasn't that maybe a light just shone or something. It was that their understanding opened. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if Jesus, who is Jesus Gongo, wasn't even Jesus before he resurrected, Jesus after resurrection, which is Jesus who is on the throne right now, if he needed scripture to preach, how much more you and I? You understand what I'm saying? So anybody who's trying to show you Christ, but they just feel they can just do something, maybe miracles and all that, and make you be, it's not enough. It's not enough. Someone who will have the authority to be able to give Christ to men will have to have skill and ability to open the scripture and allow for men to be able to see him from the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
You will now find out that when Jesus Christ began to appear to Paul, that's the same skill he began to teach Paul. You understand? He began to show Paul, because Jesus must have been teaching him, must have been appearing and showing him how to extract New Testament information out of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because by then, their only scriptures were, what was their only scripture? Genesis to Malachi. And all the books that were written by the prophet and then Moses' books, and they put them together. That was their scripture at that time. Now, you and I, if we want to understand Christ, we have easier things to read. You understand? So, Paul, I want to really think about this. Paul, when he began to write Romans, those things he wrote in Romans about faith, justification by faith, how did he get those stuff? Praise the Lord. Beginning to read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, those things he knew about redemption, about God, about life. Paul was the main guy. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? So he was the main person who Holy Spirit had to show him. Imagine reading Genesis to Malachi and then coming up with all these things that Paul came up with. Praise the Lord. So when you find people who tell you that the Bible is just literal, don't stretch it. You know, some people think you are stretching scripture when you are looking for the Spirit. You understand? If you ask them, how did Paul come out with all with what? With New Testament from what? From the old. How did he do it?
Stretched it.
He didn't stretch it. Praise the Lord. He just found the true content of the word. How did Jesus himself, how was he raised? Jesus was the first New Testament man, but his only scripture was Old Testament. So, as he was reading it, he wasn't reading the Old Testament, but through the Old Testament letters, the Holy Spirit was able to bring out the New Testament for him. And that's what he was able to live by. Praise the Lord. You'll find that Jesus' teachings, for example, what he taught from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 8, those three chapters, those were the chapters where he was teaching the disciples. That's where he started with the Beatitudes, and he continued teaching them after the multitude had gone, right? That's where he said a lot of things. He said, things about, divorce there. That's where he was speaking about, if someone slaps you, turning the cheek, an attitude towards money, taking thought for your life, right? He spoke about law of Moses, how that's just a beginning point. Are you right? He said, accept your righteousness, exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Praise the Lord. So those teachings, when you read, those are New Testament teachings. Praise the Lord. So Jesus must have read Moses' law and has had information that there is a higher law than that law, from where that law came from, and the Spirit of God must have taken him to that point. Amen. So Jesus read, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not this and that. And he must have received information that there is a higher righteousness than what is written. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that information came from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost showed, he was not just reading what Moses wrote. He was able to read the mind of God. You understand? When God was talking to Moses on the mountain, thou shalt not, those were just 10 thou shalt not that came out of a mind, on the inside of God. Jesus must have read the whole thing, and he must have discarded 9 and zeroed in on 1, that loved one. And Jesus must have meditated on that loved one. That's what he said later on, that in that love commandment, it is a fulfillment of everything. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and all that. And the second one, so those love commandments, if you do those commandments, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when Moses wrote it, did Moses at the end say that, well, just the first two are the most important and everything else hinges on the rest? No, he didn't say that. Moses just gave it to them. But Jesus now said that all the commandments hinges on those two. How do you get that kind of information? Means that he was able to understand the mind that brought those commandments. It means, what was God thinking when he gave them 10 commandments? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is the spirit of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we're reading. So Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, okay? And when he had given thanks, he what? Break it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, when you read this, you understand he wasn't just speaking of bread. Amen.
Amen.
Now, he said that bread signifies his body. His body, he said his body was broken for us. Praise the Lord. His body was what? Broken for us. Now, Jesus Christ had to physically go through a lot of things. All right? He was betrayed. Before even the physical, torture and beating happened, he already began to suffer. Right, because he was betrayed by his own. That was a serious betrayal. Right? Judas was looking at him that night. You understand what Judas did? Judas was evil. They called him son of perdition. Praise the Lord. Judas was looking at Jesus. Judas ate this thing. Praise the Lord. This body, after Jesus broke it, he said, this is my body broken for you. He gave it to Judas. And Judas took it and ate it. And after eating it, he went to go and Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, when Jesus was giving it to him, Jesus knew this is the guy that would do it, right? At the point, Jesus said, that thing you want to do, go and do it very quickly. When Jesus even said that, his heart was still hard. You know, some people, after you hear that thing, you would just be broken. You know? Even the thought that Jesus knows what I want to do to him wasn't scary enough for him. Amen. He still went ahead to do it. Now, how do you think Jesus felt about that? Right. So, Jesus suffered betrayal. He began to suffer even before he got to the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, by God's grace, I want us to, God to help us, and this is what has been in my heart, to see just beyond the physical body. So when you're thinking of the sacrifice of Jesus, what did Jesus do for me? What did he do for me? We know that part very well. In how many lashes was he given?
First.
How many more? 30 something. 36. What? No? No. I think is it 36 or 39? I don't know. Anyway, that's not the point. You can look for it later. But the point is that we know that part of his body being broken, right? Physically. But that body be breaking, that there's a line somewhere that joins, ties that somehow to you being free from sin. You receiving power to be free from sin. To you being coming in new creation in your spirit man. Amen.
Amen.
To you being born again, your spirit, you didn't exist before. The person who you are right now in your spirit did not exist before. You are recreated. Amen.
Amen.
Because if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creation. All things are what? Passed away. Behold what? All things have become new. Amen.
Amen.
Now how does that, what happened? What really happened in him? How was he able to achieve that? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So there is a way that his body, being given, that the giving of his body wasn't just in physical beating. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, the giving of his body was actually his obedience, which he fulfilled while he was in the flesh. As he was fulfilling obedience in the flesh, he was completing the requirements for redemption. Every obedience he was doing, as he was doing obedience, remission of sin was ongoing in his body and in his flesh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, to understand this, you have to realize how sin came in the first place. How sin came from the beginning. Right? Where did sin come from? Sin came from the garden. Right? In the garden, Adam and Eve were there. And then the serpent came to them. And the serpent came to them and he said some lies to Eve. He gave Eve a fruit. Okay? And then Eve ate, took his fruit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, when Eve took his fruit, what happened? Sorry?
The spirit died.
Yes, Tolu, you said something. Death passed to all men. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, through one, the Bible says, through one man's disobedience. Let's go there to let's go to the book of Romans. Let's see, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Amen. Tell me, please, you help me.
Wherefore, yeah. By one man sin entered into the world.
Yeah.
And death by sin.
Yeah.
And so death passed upon all men.
Mm-hmm.
For that all have sinned.
Yes.
For until the law sin was not in the world.
Okay, read it again.
Sin was not in the world.
No, read it again. Until the law.
Yes.
Sin was
in the world.
In the world, yeah.
For until the law, sin was in the world. Sin was not in the world.
Okay.
Was in the world.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
I don't
amen.
Like that word, sin.
Amen. Okay.
Wow. Sin is not imputed. Where
okay.
There is
can
no
we read from the beginning again?
Yes.
For until.
Wherefore,
no. For verse 13.
For until the law.
For until the law.
For until the law.
Mm-hmm.
Sin was in.
Sin was in the world. Okay.
But sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Okay.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Yes.
Even over them that had not sinned after the
similitude
of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Okay, hold on. Praise the Lord. So it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was sin? Because sin came into the world by one man's, through one man's disobedience, right? That was Adam's disobedience. Okay? Through Adam's disobedience, sin entered the world, and then death entered through sin. Praise the Lord. And then so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, there was time from when sin entered to when the law came. How many years was that?
It was
very long, right? Millenniums, right? Praise the Lord. So it says that death passed, right? But until the law came, sin was not imputed. Because sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now what does that mean? Sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Where there is no law, there is no sin.
Say it again.
Where there is no law, there is no sin.
Okay. No, oh, that's not what it means. Yes?
If there is law,
yes.
And you disobey, that is when it is sin.
It's, okay.
So if there is no law, there is technically no sin because there is no disobedience, because there is no instruction.
Okay. Can you rephrase it, Jimmy?
Say the law is the standard.
Okay.
And it's what you kind of measure.
Yes.
If it doesn't meet up with the law, then it's sin.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So the law is the mechanism through which sin is imputed.
Okay. That's true.
So that's what.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Now. When there is no law, okay, there is sin. Sin can be there without a law, a written law, right? Sin can be there without a given law. Let's put it that way. Uh-huh. Sin, by definition, is a transgression of the law. Book of 1 John says that. It says, for sin is what? The transgression. What's the definition of sin? Sin is the transgression. So whenever you are sinning, you are transgressing a law. God will help us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
So when you are sinning, you are transgressing a law. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, you need to understand man. That soul dimension. So man is soul, is heart and mind. Okay? Now, there are two ways laws two kind of laws a man interacts with. There is a law that's given to a man from without. But there is a law that resides within. Think of law in two dimensions like that. Right? There's a law that resides within, and then there is a law that comes to a man, right, that is given. Amen.
Amen.
Now, man sinned because by sinning means that man was transgressing the law on the inside of him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But that sin was not imputed. Praise the Lord. Until the way it will be imputed is you have to bring a law outwardly, right, that a man can see. And then when that law, outward law, is given, then to be imputed means it can't be brought to a platform of judgment. You understand? You can't bring a law to a platform of judgment without a written law. You can't bring sin to a platform of judgment without what? A law that has been what? That has been written. Amen. So that imputing of sin means the record of it hasn't been taken against you. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, the Bible says that when Adam sinned, that sin actually, the door was open towards sin entering into man's domain. Amen.
Amen.
And man gradually began to embrace sin. Okay. As that was going on, man was dying. You understand? Now, when you think of death now, death doesn't come to ask you, is there a law? Is it being imputed? Or is it not being imputed? I say, okay, if it's imputed, okay, then I have right to kill you now. Death doesn't operate like that. As long as you begin to break those inward laws, you begin to die. So whether there was law or there was no law, men were just dying. But even those men were dying, many of them might not even know what was going on happening to them on the inside. It took the law to come and establish or to create a metric or a measurement, praise the Lord, or a standard for man to outwardly be able to see what is going on the inside of him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you see, from verse 14, okay? Okay, verse 12 says, therefore, by one man's sin entered the world, and then death by sin, okay? And so death entered through sin. And then death began to pass upon all men. So if death was passing upon all men, it means sin was carrying death. Right? Sin spread death through the spirits, amen, of men. Praise the Lord. And their soul, as their soul was sinning, their soul also was what? Was dying. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so he says there, it is for all have sinned, you see. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So that death passed because of sin. This was before the law came. So for unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was there before, that's what he's saying. It wasn't that the law brought sin. Praise the Lord. It says until means before, up until the law came, there was sin. But sin was not what imputed because there was no law. Now this law here is that there was no law, means that there was no law, like a Mosaic law, which was outward. Wasn't there. But there was a law that was there. What was that law? Yes? That was the law of the living soul. Praise the Lord. That was the law of what? Of what? Praise the Lord. So receive verse 14. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to what? Moses. When it says Moses signified the bringing in of the law. Right? So death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that law, I want to see if we can open that place up. See, in the beginning, in Genesis, Now, the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground. Okay? When God formed man, then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Whenever you see life, the word life implies law. Praise the Lord. Life implies what?
Law.
When you see there is a life form here, there is a life form, it means that there is a what? A set of laws that are finding expression in this place. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When you see the DNA of a person, right, are a bunch of laws which the flesh will obey. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, if I want to find out any of the laws of any's physical life, I'll take a sample of his blood and look at the genetic information. Those genetic information are actually laws. Those, his appearance or his behavior as a person will not violate the laws in his what? In his genes. Praise the Lord. So his expression is a product of the law that's written deep down in the code of his life. Blood signifies life because in that blood has the law of life. So when the Bible says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became what? A living soul. So that what happened was that the breath of God came, and the breath of God deposited the laws of the living soul in Adam. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Now, that law for man is a property of the soul dimension. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The spirit is a carrier of identity. But the spirit has to submit, or I don't find the word submit, but the spirit is limited to what laws the soul is configured to obey. That's the reason why when you get born again, there are many things that your inward man wants to do, but the soul, you can't find those laws in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you find a contrary law in the soul, warring against the other laws.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. You say there's a law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, so that law, right, which is in the soul, praise the Lord, is what governs expression. And pretty much the kind of life you can live is tied to the laws of the life you have in your soul. So with breath, when God breathed into him, that breath was an infusion of laws. God created a kind of law. Amen. Like angels, for example, God made laws into them. Right? When God made them, like Lucifer, they have their laws. That's the angelic life. Praise the Lord. We know of three life forms. We know of the divine life. That's a life form. That life has its own kind of law. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the law of God. That's the divine life. Then we have the angelic life. And then you have what? The life of man. Amen.
Amen.
Those are the three kinds of life we know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, God breathed into Adam. That breathing into him was a program. That program was the program of the living soul, which was given to what? Man, to live. That was the beginning. It was a seed life, if I can use it that way. Because that wasn't the expected end of man. That was the seed life. Take this, use it. Use that to purchase the divine life. Praise the Lord. So that life was a seed life. God sowed. Let's see what you use this life to do. Take this life. Become a living soul. Praise the Lord. And you'll find, where did he sow that life into? He sowed that life into a body, actually. Because he waited till after he had formed man of the dust of the ground, before he then what? Breathed into his nostrils that breath of life. Amen.
Amen.
Now that life, that law of the living soul, which was within man, okay? Now, the place within man where the law resides is called your conscience. Amen. Your conscience is the depth of your heart. Your conscience is a keeper of laws. Right? It's a law. It's like, amen. That's what tells you, is this right or wrong? When someone is saying, this is right or wrong, what is that thing? It's a law, right? It's a law function, the legal function. Your conscience does legal function within your soul. Right? That's what tells you, this is right or that's wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right, wrong. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, because in the conscience, that's where the life is installed. Amen. So, when God breathed into him, he installed the living soul life, praise the Lord, into the conscience of Adam. So, when Adam sinned, what happened? Sin was a seed that was sown, given to him, right? He ate a fruit. Praise the Lord. Now, when you are eating fruit, what you're actually eating a life. You understand? Because inside a fruit is a seed. A seed is a, from our last study or 2 weeks ago, you can remember. Seed is a what? Is a capsule of life. It has life, latent life, that is not finding expression yet. Now, God did not put a seed inside man's heart. You understand? You get what? Now, I told you before that the life that was given to him was seed form in the broader context that you should use this life to attain divine life. But the life that was given to him wasn't seed, it was breath. Right? Breath means spirit. It was his life for expression. Living life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the moment Adam woke up, he woke up a righteous man. The moment Adam woke up, he found laws within himself. There were things he couldn't do. He knew, right? That was why God could say, okay, I put some things in you now. Now you can now finish some things I left for you to do. Give name and identity to the creatures. He began to name them. How did Adam know what to call them? That was living soul. That living soul life is a high life. That life is not like the one... We don't have Adams anymore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If one Adam was in our world now, one Adam. Praise the Lord. Who know? Because of the things you'll be able to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That Adamic life, that living soul life, Adam had, he was full, his heart was full of laws. Praise the Lord. His heart was what? Full. He awoken. When he woke up and he found laws within himself. God didn't have to start teaching him some things. Most of the things that we have to go and learn in Sunday school, Adam didn't have to go and learn in Sunday school. You understand? Most of the things that our parents have to teach us. Now, Adam had to teach his kids. Because when kids come, they come with, you know, you have to learn it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. So Adam, obviously had to teach his kids, right? Seth, Enos, and Co. They had to learn that life, right? Those life where he was teaching them how to live. You see, for decades, he would teach them before he would leave them and you can go and have your own family, right? None of Adam's sons in that Adamic order, none of them, before Genesis chapter 6, none of them lived less than 60-something years or so before they had their own kids. Means because it took them time to what? To come in to capture the breath of that was put into Adam. Adam had to impart breath to his kids.
Amen. Yeah. Those breath are laws. Laws of life. You have to teach them laws of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And each of them had to teach their own kids. They were passing life on from generation to generation. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you see that what now happened was sin, although had entered the world, but sin, that when sin came, sin did not come as breath. You know, I said sin is a different kind of law. It's called the law of what? Sin and death. It's called law of what? Sin and death. That's also a law. Law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. What does that law do? It makes you sin so that you can die. Right? The real end of that law is death. But it's death by sinning. Praise the Lord. Now, but that one came in as a seed, because it, when it took the fruit, in that fruit is a seed. So that seed was planted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why Adam didn't just become a monster right away. Right? The first sign you find that there was life in him was when God began to come around. You know, if there wasn't life in him still, he would just woke up to God and say, God, you're not welcome here anymore. I found a different way to live. I found you were lying to us before. But my eye has been open. You know, he would start talking like Satan. Satan can talk like that to God. You know, if that seed, if it wasn't seed form, if it was just full breath of Satan that was given to him, what would happen? You would just have a man of sin, the Antichrist, right away. Adam would just become Antichrist. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And his soul will be destroyed, but no. He couldn't, because Satan can't give breath. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Satan, he doesn't know how to. If he knew how to, he would have done it. You think he wouldn't have done it? If Satan could make sure that Adam is finished at that point, right there, you think he wouldn't have done it? He would have done it. But he didn't know how to. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That breath, is that's God's thing. God has his way with the soul. God knows how to infuse life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, only God can do that. Also, there's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him what? Inspiration. Do you know why he can do that? Because he is the creator. Amen.
Amen.
He's what?
The
he is the creator. They call it, says, he who what quickeneth the dead and calleth things which be not as though they were. God could program every aspect of... I don't know if you understand what God did there. Now think of all the stuff you're trying to learn about God. It just appear inside you. One moment. You know why God could do that? Because there was no legal battle. Because he didn't have to struggle. Now God has to be fighting legal battle with your will. Right? God can't just download breath into you. If he could do it, maybe he would do that with the new creation. Or the life of the quickening spirit. Mm-hmm. I wish he could do that. So he would just breathe upon you. Jimmy would just, be like Jesus. Right? But God has to negotiate with your will. And he has to come with his waters, which carry his seed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He has to come with his waters, carrying his seed, and plant the seed, and let's see if you are allowed to, you know, to grow. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But Satan doesn't have that capacity to just give breath. Satan has to, he has to sow his seed. Praise the Lord. And then that seed, let it just stay there, together with God's life. And let it just gradually just begin to find expression gradually. And he sowed that seed, Adam, sons, and his later generations after Noah, many of them began to sin more and more and more and more. What?
The seed was what?
Germinating. It began to move from just seed level. The seed broke and emptied its content into the soil of men's heart. And then began to blossom and is growing gradually. Praise the Lord. Different human beings have different levels of growth. they can use a spiritual something, instrument, to check your heart. They would say, how big is that tree in your heart? For some of us, it's just one tiny plant. Too much isn't happening. For some people, it has turned into a mighty tree. It's ready to bring fruit very soon. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The first man who the full fruit of that tree will come is the Antichrist. He will bear the fruit of what? Of the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what I was trying to say here is that, so as that seed was it was operating within, means sin was going on. Men began to sin. Men were dying. But that sin was not imputed yet. You understand? Because what happened? The law hadn't come. The law and the prophets, praise the Lord, hadn't come. So that sin was not what? Was not imputed. Now, what is the content of the law and the prophets? Sorry? Say it again. It's laws. What kind of laws? Say it again.
Outward laws.
Outward laws. But what's the kind? No, because I told you there are three kinds before.
The laws that can be, that you can account for.
Okay.
That sin can be accounted for.
Yes, but what kind, in terms of what is the nature, where is it from? What kind of law is it? Is it divine? Is it like God's own law?
It's man's law.
It's man's law. Praise the Lord.
She said, canal law.
It's the canal law. Amen. It's the same. It's the same law. It's the living soul law.
Okay.
Yes. It's the same thing. The thing that God initially wrote into Adam. Praise the Lord. And what man has been sinning against, God has to find a way to impute it. You understand? So God has to take that same thing and give it through Moses and through prophets. The prophets, it was actually what Moses had. That's what they were prophesying with. You understand? So that was just the same thing. It's supposed to be in hearts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But man has been deleting it for generations. For many men in that time when Moses got the law, a huge part of those laws had disappeared. In terms of men's hearts, you won't find those laws anymore. They had gone. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So our men were still sinning and men were dying. So God had to find a storage or a place to keep it. Amen. Now, those laws that were given to Moses served some purposes. Praise the Lord. This whole story I'm telling is going somewhere, because without all these things, you would say, why Jesus came would still be a mystery. You need to really understand what things, the necessity, that there was no other way it could have been done. You appreciate what God did in the Spirit. When you see the technology of redemption, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So God had to what? Find a place
storage.
To storage. Men no longer have it inside their heart. There should be a place where they can go and read it from. One of the reasons for God giving that law is to actually slow down the speed at which the seed of the knowledge of good and evil was what? Was. Trust me, if that law wasn't given, amen. If that law wasn't given, Jesus might not have even come. Because either Mary would have told the angel that. You know, she asked the angel, how would this thing be? The angel said, don't worry, the power of God will come over upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Eh? Mary would have asked the angel, what do you mean by that? Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 I want you to try and see. You see, for Mary to have been able to receive such a thing means that there was still something in her that had a response to God, towards God. for Mary to accept that, for there to be a woman on the earth at that time who could receive such visitation from above and be able to carry the Master with all the persecutions and everything that she knew would come. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Means that there was still life in her somewhere. Okay, let's leave Mary. Let's even Mary agreed. What of Joseph, who agreed to be his father? You know, if God could, if there wasn't a man like Joseph, Jesus might have died as a child. Have you thought about it?
Yeah.
One of the greatest things God used Joseph to do was to protect him. He had wisdom. He knew how to keep him, where to take him to. And they were looking for people for kids to kill them.
Yeah.
Joseph kept, he protected the child. I'm sure if not for Joseph, Mary herself would have been killed. You know that. Because you have been threatened to marry somebody. All of a sudden, you're not married. There's baby inside your stomach. What would have happened? What has happened? The same way they went to, you know? You know those Pharisees, they don't take time at all. Before you know it, they will drag you, and then that's the end. So God had to, there had to be in that generation, praise the Lord, there had to be people who still had life within them, enough life within them to be able to receive that visitation for Jesus to come. This was part of what the law was meant for. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The law was actually to help, the law and the prophets was actually to help to facilitate the coming of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, another thing is, if there was no law, then it means sin would not have been imputed. Okay? Now, if there is no if sin is not imputed, there is no guilt. You understand? So men will not be what? Guilty of anything before God. I mean, God cannot prove to men that they are unrighteous. And if God cannot prove to men that they are unrighteous, and God says, I want to bring a savior, they ask you, what do you want to save me from? I'm alright, there's nothing wrong with me. You understand? God has to make it that the guilt, let us see. Let's see that. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Let's see Romans. Let's see Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let us see verse. Okay, let's see from verse 10. It says, as it is written, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay? Romans 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they what? Have they not known? It says, and there is no fear of God before what? Their eyes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are what? Under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Amen. So the law, before that, it began to describe the state of people's heart. Praise the Lord. Now, this, if you read before where I started reading, you will see God was trying to, he's just trying to show that men are unrighteous. You understand? And now, when the law came, right, it says that to know that which things soever the law saith, whatever the law is saying, is saying to them who are under the law. Praise the Lord. Now, this phrase, under the law, those who are under the law, the Bible says you're not longer under the law, but you're under grace. Okay? That word under the law actually means that you have not risen above it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
you have not what?
Risen
above the law. You are under the law. And that way to explain it is to say that you have not been able to fulfill the requirements of the law. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you are not able to fulfill the requirements of the law, you are still what? Under the law. So when you are under the law, it means the law is still your teacher. Right? The law is a schoolmaster. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now it says those who are under the law, right? The reason for the law is to what? That the whole world might become what? Guilty under God. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Since therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of what? Of sin. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now read it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and what? And the prophets. Are you seeing that? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he says the righteousness of God without the law, which is the one we are preaching now. Praise the Lord. Which is the righteousness of the quickening spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Is manifested, being witnessed by what? The law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets were witnesses. Praise the Lord. They began to witness of a better law that is to come. You understand? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto and all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short, praise the Lord, of what? The glory of God. Now, so you see the law and the prophets, amen, they are the ones who paved way for Christ to come. Okay. Now, but then paving way for Christ was they began to witness of a higher law, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Which is to come. Praise the Lord. In the majority of the prophets. So when you say law and then prophet. Amen. The prophet actually were the ones who were prophesying of Christ. Amen. Now, the law and the prophet, they are a twofold arrangement. Okay. They did the two things that need to happen before for Jesus Christ to come. First of all, men must be found guilty. And their guilt must what? Appear to them. That's the function of the law. And then the prophet is that there has to be a foretelling. You understand? There has to be a painting made of a coming salvation. You understand? So you see those functions being met, right? That guilt, imputing guilt to man. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that guilt, you know what's the meaning of guilt, really? Guilt. Okay. Knowledge or acknowledgement.
Acknowledging.
Okay. So guilt is a personal acknowledgement. You understand? That word guilt, personal. So I can't just come and, if I come and say, you did this, and I just, you know, I haven't established you as guilty. You understand? It's an accusation. There's something accusation and guilt. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you go to the Lord, they ask you, guilty or not guilty? Because you are the one who should admit guilt. Either you admit it or it's proven beyond reasonable doubt to the point where if you don't agree, it's just because you just want to be stupid and just difficult. You understand? That's the court of law. You understand? So they say someone committed a crime in the court of law. And you kind of say, well, he had opportunity, he had this and that, so maybe he's probably the one he had motive. And no, the burden of proof lies on the prosecutor. You must prove beyond, they call it beyond what every reasonable doubt. You have to prove it. Praise the Lord that the person did it. Either that or the person comes and says, I'm guilty. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the law came to prove beyond reasonable doubt that man is guilty of sin. Now, man has been guilty right from time, but it had to be proven to man that you need a savior. Otherwise, there's no context for Jesus to come.
They have to see it outwardly.
They have to, God can give them, this is the law, go and fulfill it. Then for centuries, generations, they kept trying every single day. And they kept failing every single day. You understand? God knew, before he gave them the law, he knew there's no way they can fulfill it. Simple. How do you know they can't fulfill it? Because the law was in them in the first place. It was complete in them. Praise the Lord. They couldn't hold on to the life that God gave to him. Man couldn't hold on to the life that God gave him. Right? That life died. Praise the Lord. So God had to bring it outwardly to him. To what? To impute guilt. And to muster up a desire to be saved. You see it? Now, this law of Moses, technically, this law actually, this law is God's instrument, but it actually was also Satan's instrument in a way. Right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because as soon as that law came, death began to use it. Even more. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, without the law being given, okay? Without the law being given, bless you. Without the law being given, it will be very, very hard for Satan to bring men to perdition. You understand? Without the law of Moses being given, it will be very, very hard for what? For Satan to bring men to perdition. As soon as the law of Moses came, the law of sin and death took hold of it, married it. It became an instrument. Amen.
Amen.
That thing is a mystery. Paul tried to describe it in Romans chapter 7. Praise the Lord. There's something about that. Take somebody who... he had a tendency for something before. It's latent in the inside of him. Come outrightly and tell him, don't do it. The moment you say, don't do it, what have you done? That thing is a mystery inside man. There's a soul. The soul has that nature. Okay. Praise the Lord. Most times, something can a sin or something can be latent within you. Right? You have an inward, a disposition inwardly to do it. But it's just there. You might not have that pull. The pull might not be strong towards it. But the moment an outward law comes and says, do not, clearly, that has a way of what? Increasing what?
Desire
for it. That thing, to understand that thing, you have to understand deeply the nature of sin. The nature of sin, the code of sin is disobedience. So, there's an inward law. The man has been, there's an inward don't do it. That's been, is there. But it's not as loud as the outward one. So, because that one is just there, don't do it, well, you don't awaken that desire for disobedience as much. You understand? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The inward law doesn't awaken the disobedience desire. Right? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
As much as the outward one, because there are two lives within the man. There's living his own life, which he had, or there's that seed. That seed is watching the inward living soul life. And it's telling you, sin against it, sin against it. But that thing is not that voice is not powerful. But the moment the outward one comes, what happens? It's louder. It magnifies the instinct of disobedience. The outward one fuels that seed of disobedience on the inside. If you check inside your heart, you will know it's true. The expression of everything I'm saying is inside you. Praise the Lord. Is anybody doesn't know what I'm saying here? Some of you don't know what I'm saying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have there been things that you didn't pay attention to when you were young? It was just there. Oh, nice, fancy. But one day, mom wake up. Junior, don't ever touch this thing. And then she will go. What has happened? Throughout that day, Junior will be looking at Junior has been passing it to me. Sometimes he'll pass, interesting. What? He'll go about his business. But that morning, wow, mom said, do not touch this thing. Praise the Lord. So Junior is not in trouble. That is the nature. Just telling you. Okay.
Sorry, I just want to say, you said the seed of knowledge of good and evil was warring against their living soul laws that were in their conscience before the law, the outward law was given.
Yes.
So can we say like the seed of the knowledge of good and evil did not know or understand the living soul law, like to know how to contradict it without the outward laws? So when the outward laws now came, which were these laws within the soul, it was now like, oh, okay, don't do this, so now do this.
It's not that the seed doesn't know. The seed knows. Do you know where that Satan is coming from? Satan came from, he knows. It's just that it's about the man's consciousness. You understand? It's about the man's what?
Consciousness.
The man's consciousness. All his faculties. Because when you want to sin, there are faculties that needs to carry out the sin. You understand? Sometimes those faculties are not as sensitive to the inward arrangement. Praise the Lord. So, but once that outward law comes, you excite the faculties. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's more an issue of the person's awareness to it, of it. I don't know if that makes sense. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm trying to think of an example. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Amen. Amen. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'll just read from verse 5, Romans chapter 7. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth what? Fruit unto death. Amen. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Okay? Nay, I had not known sin, but what?
By
the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
But sin, you see, the law is not sin in itself. The law is not sinful by itself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But that law can be used by sin. Sin is an intelligence. Praise the Lord. Sin is the wisdom of a cherub. It's intelligent, smart. Sin is operating with wisdom. Praise the Lord. So what he's saying here is that the law itself is not sinful. That law of Moses, okay? It says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Concupiscence means strong desire. Praise the Lord. For without the law, sin was dead. Means that without the law, sin had no what? It wasn't powerful. But when the law came, sin is the one. That law, that's why you see, if you read the Bible well, sometimes it's hard to describe this differentiate between that law of Moses and law of sin and death. Sometimes you can confuse between when the Bible is speaking of the law, because they paint the law in such a bad light. Praise the Lord. It's not that the law is bad, it's that what? That law became an instrument that sin was using to kill man. Does it make sense? Praise the Lord. We have more time to flesh some things out. I want us to really understand some of these things. Some of these things make you understand why you sometimes why you do the things you do, why you behave a certain way. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be to death. For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me, and by it what? Slew me. Now, in here, based on what we've discussed so far, can you understand why Paul would now say, for the letter killeth? Mm-hmm. We understand the spirit gives life, but that letter, do you know, are you seeing how the letter kills? You see it? Praise the Lord. So if you bring letter to, someone's reading letter, but with no spirit, what's happening to them? They are awakening some things in themselves that they don't have grace energy to deal with. Mm-hmm. Can you wake up?
Can we say that?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening? Please try. Can you try? Can you try? I want you to try. I want you to wrestle. Praise the Lord. Please. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what happens is the letter, when you are reading letter without spirit, is not, you're not being neutral. It's not, okay, let me just enjoy the letter to the letter. I will try spirit. No, something is happening to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sorry? Question, okay. Yeah.
Say that if you just read the letter without spirit, can you then see that what is happening is covetousness? Because now you are awakening the things you did not know were sin before inside your heart, and then you convert to do those things the way you explained, meaning that if I see this thing, I've been wanting to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But until I'm told not to touch it, then I convert that thing, or I convert to touch that thing.
Covetousness, that was an example I gave. Okay. It can be different things, right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are three main categories. There's lust and pride. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those are the three main dimensions that seed expresses, right? In Paul's example here, you find he used lust here in his example. But it's actually lust and pride. When you see the scripture, the letter can be telling you, don't do this and don't do this and don't do that. You can read them. As soon as you are reading them, what's happening is there's awakening something. There's an awareness of it you come into. Right? But you shouldn't come into some awarenesses just like that. Praise the Lord. You should come into them by grace operations through revelation. Because when it happens by revelation, revelation doesn't just inform you. It gives grace too. That's why you see, the Bible says you are not under the law, you are under grace. See, see grace and the law, the Bible describes them as two opposite things. Not opposite, but two different. Yeah. So after grace, after the law, the next dispensation is grace dispensation. Because it's grace that is able to do what the law could not do. When the law came, the law was there. Sin was more powerful than the law of Moses. You know that, right? Yes. Sin is more powerful. This should be clear to us. Sin is more powerful than the living soul. You understand? Than the living soul life. That living soul life, because why is it sin more powerful? Because sin is the product of the angelic life. In the creation order, it is divine life, angelic, and then living soul. God had made him a little lower than the angel. Sin is not a man thing. Sin is an angelic thing. It's an angel that fell who manufactured it. So that's why when it came to Adam, there was no defense. It was wiser than him. It handled him, finished him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you need something higher, a higher life. Grace is a product of the quickening spirit. Praise the Lord. As when Jesus Christ came, he will beheld his glory as of the only begotten of Father, full of what? Grace and truth. The Bible says the law came through Moses, but what? Grace and what? And peace came through Jesus. What Jesus brought to the air that wasn't there before was grace energy. When sin sees law of Moses, it will chew it up. Praise the Lord. Like Smarties. Praise the Lord. So if all you have is laws and scripture quoted in your head, memory verses. Praise the Lord. When the temptation comes, all your memory verses will disappear. Praise the Lord. If all you have are memory verses. Memory verses can't deliver you from temptation. You understand? Praise the Lord. And memorize scripture. It's just letter. It can't. There's no power in that. You would have finished doing the whole thing before you remember the verse that speaks about it. So, you see, in ministrations, usually when someone is being ministering to you, they shouldn't just, it's not information. There has to be grace impartation. That's true ministry of the New Testament. Grace, beyond all, just the words are just a mechanism. It's the instrumentality of divine wisdom, true words that you use to bring forth grace expressions. That's what makes that's a mark of a New Testament minister. They can impart grace. That's what differentiates them from a Pharisee. Right? It's not just scripture. It's just anybody can quote scripture. Praise the Lord. But if it's just quoting scripture, we just go and memorize. If it's quoting scripture, I'm not problem. Some of you can probably memorize and quote more than I can. You understand? Praise the Lord. Or some of us might even quote better than our pastor self. Just raw brain memory. Just give you this book. Praise the Lord. It's not like any now. Let me handle this book. Amen. Before you know it, he will download the whole thing into his head. But it's not by downloading all that stuff. You should know it. But you know that is just an instrument that Holy Ghost will then use. The same way Jesus was using that instrument of the scripture to impart grace to those guys. Jesus was talking, scripture, talking, until something happened. He downloaded grace. He said, this is Jesus. What made them? That grace is revelation gives grace, you understand? He said, you should be sober, gird up the loins of your heart, and hope to the end for the grace that should what? Come to you at the revelation of Jesus. Every revelation that happens is a grace function that's going on. So you see, this the revelatory, I'm emphasizing revelation, revelatory life. It's not so that you just be some kind of revelatory person. Amen. It is that this is the secret to grace of God. Any kind of knowing of God that you are doing that is not according to a revelatory way. Revelatory means it's not just learning with your brain. It is spirit imparting it to you. Because every impartation of the Holy Ghost comes with grace energy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When temptation comes to someone who has grace, now, scripture can come. Grace can trigger scripture. But it's not just dry scripture. You understand?
Yes, sir.
It is scripture latent with power to lock your resolve.
Yes,
wow.
That you will look at temptation and say, no, this is wrong.
Yes,
like Jesus said, it is written. Satan. You know, that wasn't just quoting. That was He quoted, he had energy to resist. That is grace. Yes.
Well,
in chapter 10, when it says, and the commandment which was ordained to life are found to be unto death. I'm looking at this thing in the concept of revelation and our everyday life. So let's say you are studying a particular scripture and you are trying to receive light on a particular area of your life. And like you said, it's at every revelation, you said there's grace. But the first question is, is it possible to receive revelation on an area and still fall in that area?
Mm-hmm.
And second question is going. I want to understand that concept.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So your answer is like one line answer, right? Yes. The reason is because grace comes in measures.
Okay.
Right.
So that instance you gave, that you said that it will spring up scripture, like there's energy and you can see it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like when it's reached the end and you've come into rest?
To fullness.
Fullness. So you can it's possible that on that way you can actually fall and let's say get up and you'll be tried in that same area again.
A lot of times it's falling and rising and falling, right? While that's happening, grace should be increasing, right? As you are, it's something called use. As you are using, praise the Lord. The way you develop skills spiritually is by using. And most of the time when you're using, you may fall, and then you have to get up again. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the little revelation you have about something might not be enough to overcome that thing because it might have taken a deep root inside your heart. You understand? That's why the Bible says, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Grace for what?
Grace.
For grace. It means one grace will help you for the next grace. That grace for grace nature, you find that in the revelation of the scriptures. You find that it's one revelation that unlocks the next. Have you noticed that? That one will unlock the next one. That's the operations of grace. One door will open the next, that will open to the next. So, as you are, the more you are receiving, the more grace you are having. One day you find that you have so much grace that thing becomes nothing to you.
In that position in life, if you find yourself in that area, should your response be to, let me say, you know, dig deeper, and, you know, or is that you again? Walking in the flesh. Because you won't answer one question I asked you, but you're like, you should learn to rely
on the spirit. Yes.
Right? But I don't know. I don't say it.
Sometimes you can wait in your eyes, as this spirit is not coming.
Exactly. And you see yourself, like, I don't know.
Yes.
Again, like, every single time. So should your disposition be, you know, let me say, to go on the fast, to detach yourself, see God, and, you know, God, I want light on this way. But, like, if you do that, does that, I don't know, praise God in any way to give you? Do you by one way maybe find the light in you know, this mystery of Christ? Do you just maybe, because you now expended so much energy, do you just find it or or should you, like you said, you just rely on?
Praise the Lord. I like this kind of question because this is the practicality. It means you are walking. Praise the Lord. What does this kind of question tell me? Tell me that he is what?
Walking.
He's walking. He's walking and you are eating all these things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, one thing you find is this is the learning of the Spirit. You understand? I wish that I could just give you, this is the formula, just write it down. Like when you try the first time, then you pray, and then you understand? Then you do some 3 days or something. And then after that, you arrive at it. It's not like that. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The reason is because, I see each of us, we are very different in our soul. What is happening inside you is different from your own. Your own is different from your own. The operations of this seed of Satan in us is different.
Jesus.
You understand? The cause, if you take maybe Tammy's own cause in the spirit, and apply it to your own life, it might not work. You understand? Because the things that were done inside him is different from what was done inside you. It's a product of all kinds of things. I mean, your environment, where you grew up, everything, your nature, your dad, your mom, Even somehow in your DNA, you know, Satan, he enters that area. Do you know that? You know that. Praise the Lord. Satan doesn't, you know, Satan can make this one marry that one, so they produce that kind of child that has this kind of ability that can respond more to this kind of temptation. You don't think he can think like that? How did Satan design the women that caused the sons of God to fall in Genesis chapter 6? First is the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Beautiful. Those daughters of men were, I believe they were king's daughters. You understand? And those men, those king's generation, they didn't give birth according to, they were just producing factory, marrying and having kids. Amen. And Satan was there. He was doing it at the point some kind of ladies came that could seduce God's son and they fell. So, that's genetic engineering right then. Satan was doing it. So I'm just trying to get you to see that. So that's why, this what I just described, this is the reason why letter can't solve the problem. Because of how sophisticated iniquity is. The Bible calls it a mystery. Say the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's a mystery. The world itself is a mystery. Read the book of Revelation. You see it there. What's that name? Mystery. Babylon the Great. That's the name written on that horse. It who the kings of the world has had fornication with. That's the spirit of the world. It's a mystery. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, but the point is that that way of how to capture grace and come into the grace of God for the things that are warring against your soul, that is your task to discover. That is what they call your spiritual walk. When you come and hear message, the message you are hearing is you are gaining what?
Grace.
Your ammunition. Praise the Lord. And you are tapping ability. You are learning different skills, instruments that you need for your walk. Your real walk is a faith walk. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That faith walk, Holy Spirit has to lead you on the inside of your heart. You understand? Maybe you tried something, maybe you came into an understanding, and then that day you felt, wow, this problem has been solved. But then you face the problem again, and then it seems as if it got the better of you. You say, God, what's going on? That moment of what's going on, that tells you that there's something in my cause in the spirit I haven't entered yet. There's a learning I haven't unlocked. You understand? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is true. There's a measure of faith. Because the Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jews and then to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. It's not a complete download in one day. It's one faith to faith. You are walking by faith gradually. Praise the Lord. This is the school that God, this is our main learning. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
This is your what? This is what you are raised to master. This is what you should know. This is what Jesus mastered on the earth for 30 years. It was that easy. When Jesus was 5, maybe he would have gone to die on the cross for us. No, when he was 5, man, he had things to learn. When he was 15, he had things to learn. When he was 20, he still had what?
Things to learn.
Praise the Lord. The temptation Jesus faced when he was 20, if they had brought him, is to him when he was 12 or 15, would have been in trouble. Because he might not have been able to overcome it. But God, you know, God said, I won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You understand? So at every level, the temptation for that growth level came to him. Praise the Lord. And he was able to overcome. So God, your father, he is the one. Satan is the one tempting you and everything. God does not tempt. Well, God is using Satan. We all know that. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is Satan thinks he's doing his own thing, but God is the one what? Using him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says a righteous man will fall several times. But because he's a righteous man, he won't stay down, he will get up. Because he has a target. Amen.
Amen.
I'm coming. Let me say something. I want to clarify something. Okay? You see, if a righteous man falls several times and then gets up, or is it seven times, he said? Seven. And then he will get up, right? Now, it's your victory is in your rising, right? Rising means that, what does that mean? Right, rising is your, it means that you are committed to your cause in the spirit. These are those who will not draw back to perdition. Right, it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, praise the Lord. You won't resign, like Judas Iscariot resigned. This is who I am, and then went to kill himself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you'd be like Peter after he had done what he did to the master. He went, he wept, and he cried. I said, okay, no problem. But the next day, you get up and you continue. Because what else would you do? You must continue your course in the spirit. You understand? Praise the Lord. So after a while, you will gain mastery. This is why when you now finish your course and you become an overcomer, some people will look at you and wonder, how do you become like this? Now, that kind of wonder, how do you become like this? It didn't come by you just formula. It came by day and night on what? You are fighting with Satan. You will fight with him to the point where you will overcome him.
Amen.
And when you overcome him, you will now have, you come into grace. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Righteous men are warriors. You know that. You are a warrior. What's your war? What are you fighting? What are you fighting? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're against what? Principalities, powers. They call them spiritual wickedness in high places. From there, they are writing course for men. This is the life you will live today. Take, go and live it. And take, go and live it. But one day, one man will stand and say, I'm not living that life. That's not my life. No, I was bought with a price. Christ came and died for me that I should live for him. And you now begin to search out that life. That when you take such a stand, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are that's your warfare in the spirit. Today they might come and say, this one will gather from there and you fall. You get up and say, no, this is my life. I must learn this life and I will go after it until I master this life it becomes my own.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the attitude. When you become resilient like this, Christ, Jesus Christ. And a lot of Christians either are flaky. When it doesn't work, it's just not working out. I'm just trying and okay. So, but have you done it? Take the Bible. No, but it just doesn't work. I'm just this and I am. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
I worship you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Kai, Jesus. Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Maybe he was talking about his physical stripes, maybe because they flogged him and stuff, but that marks was more than just physical beating. Paul was a warrior. Paul said, I warred with beasts at Ephesus. What does it mean by beasts we warred with? Amen. When Paul entered that Ephesus, he was there for like 1 year or something, 2 years or something like that. It was just there, it was war in the spirit. Paul, he was warring against the conglomerate of darkness in the air. He was an emissary of righteousness to a land. You know what that means? Where people, a land where people, there's no consciousness of God. You know what that means? There's no consciousness. People are just living their life. You now come to such an environment and now want to begin to walk by faith. They will react towards you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is the task for our generation.
Yes.
Because the world, so darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness. In that time, that's when some guys will have light. So much light. Now, do you know what kind of resilience you will need? You understand? Everybody's lukewarm. Everybody just wants simple this, simple Christianity. There's no motivation outward. You understand? For you, these days, it's getting to a point in the church where there's no motivation for you to pursue God deeply. You understand? Somehow, they're even suggesting to you somehow as if it's bad that you are even, why are you so spiritual?
True.
Have you heard such talk before?
Yes.
Say, why are you so spiritual? You should be, don't be too heavenly conscious and earthly useless. What is that? Have you heard that one before? How can you be heavenly conscious and earthly useless? Is it possible? You understand? But this is the world where we live in, where you know, just being mediocre is being celebrated. You are expected to. Amen. But you are a warrior. God will help us.
Amen.
Let's not spend too much time. Time is gone. Time is gone. Time is gone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, this verse 13 that I wanted you to see. Right, verse 12 says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Okay? Verse 13 of Romans 7. He says, wherefore the law is holy, amen, and the commandment holy and just and good. Say, was then that which is good made death unto me? He's asking a question. So the law is good. Is it that? Because I know, you don't, it's not an argument. I know there's death going on here. But as the law is coming, the more the law is coming, the more I'm dying. What's going on? You understand? Either the law is death, right? Say, God forbid. Say, but sin that's doing it, that it might appear sin. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Working death in me by that which is good. So sin can use that which is good. Praise the Lord. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding what? Sinful. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You
read verse. We know that verse 19 to the bottom, right? Where it says, the good that I will do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
For if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Mm-hmm.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to what? The law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? But 24, O wretched, this exclamation is deep. He said, O wretched man that I am. Paul is trying to pen this is the condition that man was or man came to. This cry is actually a cry for salvation. Paul, right, says, who will deliver me from what? The body of this death. Who will deliver me from the body of what? Of this death. Praise the Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of sin, but what? With the flesh, the law. With my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Now, Jesus Christ offered himself on the cross. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus, he did what? He offered himself on the cross. Now, before Jesus was qualified to go to the cross, okay, Jesus had already defeated sin in his body. Okay. Now, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, okay, Jesus Christ, because the answer to this problem, have you seen the context now? There is no salvation. Where will salvation come from for this man here? The law, sin has handled the law, right? He's in a perpetual state of death. Amen.
Amen.
So you need someone who can break this cycle. Right. You need someone who can what? Who can break? How do you break the cycle? Someone in whom will be, who will be a product of the law. This law. You understand? He will be a product of the law. But after sin, when sin comes, sin will find that it can't have dominion over him. Praise the Lord. Because those things that this, those requirements that this law, you know, this law is a, it is requiring something. I need to be fulfilled. You need to fulfill me. And as man is trying to do it, man is dying because man cannot fulfill it. Now a man has to come who can fulfill it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who can fulfill what the Bible calls? The Bible calls it the righteous requirement of the law. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The law has righteous requirements. So someone has to come who can what? Fulfill the righteous requirements of what? Of the law. That you now see chapter 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise the Lord. This, all these words, this is definitely, they are trying to show you the technology of how Jesus did it. Praise the Lord. So he's not an alien being that just came and died and went away. No. He had to enter our condition first. Right? He says that for the law of the Spirit of life, there was, so Christ, first of all, there was a law of the Spirit of his life. He had a life in him. Praise the Lord. This law of the Spirit, this is the first time a different law came into humanity. Right? Before it was a living soul in the conscience, then the word that was coming outwardly. But Jesus Christ had another one. There's a law of the Spirit of life, which was being taught to him by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, which law could not do something here?
Moses.
Law of Moses. What it could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son, you see, in what? Likeness of sinful flesh. You see that? He sent his own Son in what? Likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus Christ came in what? Likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin. How did he condemn sin in the flesh? Defeated it how?
By not falling.
By obeying. By obeying. He obeyed. Praise the Lord. Because sin is all disobedience, right? Through one man's disobedience, sin. The Bible says, as many died through one man's disobedience, so many will be made alive by one man's obedience. Praise the Lord. So Christ, how did Christ destroy sin? So many times we think of just that cross thing, but we don't understand what was happening. There was something happening that happened for 30 years, 33 and a half years, that ended up in the cross. Without what was happening in those 3.5 years, the cross wouldn't be possible. Because if he didn't do that, he would just die on the cross and nothing would happen. Yes.
Something I realize is they keep on making emphasis on the flesh.
Yes.
In the first war. So it's not enough that you have to not. So we have to make sure we carry out it. Like, we have to, that is the word, overflow or show in our expression. Find expression.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we'll still have some time, okay? This is the real thing, that flesh thing, you see? Oh, right in the beginning, what did he say? This is my flesh, broken for you. Why will you see, keep seeing flesh? When it comes to Jesus' sacrifice, you keep mentioning flesh. Praise the Lord. Or his body. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you know that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, do you know that it was sin? That was sin. Do you know that Jesus became sin? Jesus was, he had to be transformed into sin. We'll see this next time. Now that cross, you see that cross is a symbol of where sin came from. Praise the Lord. That cross is a what? Is a symbol of what, where what sin came from. Jesus had to carry out a walk on the earth. Praise the Lord. And trace sin back and take it back. That's what the Bible calls the remission of your sins. Jesus had to take sin back. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, praise the Lord. The sin came into the world through a serpent, right? Through a serpent. Sin came in through what? Through a serpent. Serpent on a tree that was offering a fruit. Okay. Now, that serpent actually signifies sin. The serpent signifies what? Sin. How sin came, how sin found its way into humanity. Praise the Lord. Now you see, in the desert, in the wilderness, when those people disobeyed, they got weary, and then they can't to murmur against God. You see, Moses, have you brought us here to die in the wilderness and all that? And then in Numbers chapter 21, I think. And then Moses now told them, sorry, and all of them were beaten, right? And they all, at the point of death, they all fell sick at the point of death. Praise the Lord. So God now told him, okay, this is how you will redeem these people, or how you will bring them back or give them healing. Make a serpent, like a sculpture of a serpent, and then hang it upon a pole or whatever. And then that symbol of a serpent, praise the Lord, those people, they have to now start looking at it. And as many of them who will look at it, praise the Lord, will live. As many of them who don't look at it will die. Praise the Lord. Now that sign of the serpent there was actually the sign of Christ on the cross. Praise the Lord. Is a sign of what? Of Christ on the cross. Now God was just acting a drama there, trying to show them something. Now, that serpent, as he was raised up there, it would take that symbol. The symbol of a serpent being raised up is a sign of sin being remitted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. is a symbol of what? Sin being remitted. Now, looking up towards Jesus, that word looking at that serpent is actually putting, is the faith process, amen, that applies redemption, okay, to us. Because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, it wasn't his own sin that hung there. Because the person who they hung on the cross was a righteous man. Okay? That was his qualification. He had to be righteous. Praise the Lord. Can I just read something quickly? And then we'll be done. Amen. Thank you. Now what I'm trying to describe, I'm trying to describe it without opening the Bible, but because all the scriptures we have to open now, there are many because of time. But I'll just describe it to us, and then next time we'll see more from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us," right? "Who knew no sin, that we might be made," what? "The righteousness of God in him." So, it says that he made him to be sin. So, they made, transformed him into sin. Praise the Lord. They made him to be sin. Jesus Christ on the cross was sin on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because when he went there, all the penalty, he took in himself all the penalty for all the sin. Now, that thing of the cross, that idea of the cross, hanging on the cross, you know where it came from? It came from way back in Deuteronomy, when God was giving them laws through Moses. And they said, if a father and a mother come and they are talking to their son is disobedient towards them, he's not respectful and everything, he's a rebellious child. And they speak to him and speak to him and speak to him, and then he's not listening. There's nothing they can do anymore. They should now bring that son to the elders. And if the elders, they intervene and the son is reprobate, they determine his son is so reprobate, nothing can be done about him. You take that son and bring him before everybody and they will stone him to death. And then after they stoned him to death, take that child and then you hang him. On what? On the cross. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then he now said that cost is any person. That's where that thinking is. Cost is anybody who what? Hangs on the cross, on the tree. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, that sin that they killed him, that sin is what the Bible calls sin unto death. There's something called, not every sin is unto death. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, that idea of sin, there are some sins that are unto death, some sins that are not unto death. If you read from God giving instruction to Moses, it's not every sin that they will commit that they will say kill them. There are many sins where they will say, okay, bring something to come and atone for yourself. You understand? The person does this, you bring something to atone, but there are some sins where you have to kill. You kill the person. This is one of those sins where you have to kill the person. The Bible calls it a sin unto death. Now, that sin is a sin of a reprobate. That is actually a type of the sin, because those laws they gave to them were a type and shadow of the reality in the spirit. So that kind of disobedience is the kind of disobedience we have committed towards God. That father and mother is a type of God. Praise the Lord. When we've gone to the point where we are completely reprobate, it means they try to do everything, they bring it to the elders. That's what God tried to do with the law and everything. Right? Trying to prove to you. Then after that, what you are deserving of. See, what Jesus, that Jesus' death is what you are deserving of. It's all the sin, right? All the disobedience of the whole world is what Jesus, what? Bore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us read Galatians chapter 3. When you go back, where I just narrated for us, it's in Numbers 21. Just you can read it in your own time to see where that idea of, you know, those who are hanged, right? Praise the Lord. Now, why will you say cursed? Because the first, let me see. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Galatians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. I'll read from verse 11. Okay. Okay, I'll just read from verse 10. Galatians 3 verse 10. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
As many as are what? Of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The fact that you are under the law means you are a rebellious child. Those who are under the law, why was the law given? Because they were all rebellious. It was their disobedience. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall what? Live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall what? Live in them. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, it is written, cursed is what? Everyone that hangs on the tree. And Jesus Christ is made what? A curse for us. You see, John chapter 3, last place. Amen. I think we'll go more into this next time. John chapter 3. Amen. I'll read verse 13. It says, and no man, so Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, say, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is what? In heaven. It says, and as Moses lifted up what? The serpent in the wilderness, even so must what? The Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting, eternal life. Praise the Lord. So the same way that serpent was lifted up. Amen. And it says, curses he everyone who is hung on a tree. The same way Jesus was. So Jesus became a curse. That's the thing he became a curse for us. Because curses everyone that hangs on a tree. The Bible says he became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so as Moses is lifted up, so is he lifted up. So, you now ask about his body, right? His body, okay, as he was walking in the body, doing obedience in the body. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you remember the law of sacrifice. The law of sacrifice is that you bring something without blemish, okay, in place of the sin of another. Can you remember, you might not remember now, or the way the consecration of the priest, there was one that we offered towards God, one animal that we have offered to God, one towards, for the priest themselves, there will be one that will be offered for sin. They call it the sin offering. Jesus Christ was actually a sin offering for us. That sin offering, though, you bring it, you lay your hand on the animal. That laying of hands is like a transfer of what? Of your sin. The animal is without blemish and anything. You lay your hands on it, there's a transfer, and then that thing is what now? Taken, what? Outside the camp, far away, and burnt outside the camp. The same way Jesus Christ was taken out of the city. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, what happened is Jesus' obedience. Jesus had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. And that fulfillment of that had to do with the things he did in his body. Praise the Lord. For the obedience that he was doing in his body is what made him capable of an offering. Amen.
Amen.
That could take away what? The sins of the world. Praise God. Next time we'll look at more at the book of Hebrews and some other things to understand. And one of the things we'll also see is that it's not just that Jesus did that, it's not enough. It was actually an example for us. Right? It's a pattern. It's a pattern of sacrifice. He did it first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he appeased. Praise the Lord. But there's a way that what he did has to be applied to us in our life. God will help us.
Amen.
I can see we are all tired. It is well. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know, are we blessed today? Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you. Bless you. Bless you. We bless you. Let's just begin to thank God for His word. Thank Him for grace. Ashali Kesona. Master Prodes, Faranesto, Carias, Ekrastia, Maradesh, Eprostine, Maskotane, Ekratane, Iskatane, Meskatane, Ikletan, Mostakan, Kalisia, Poroste, Fratis, Kamanakaria, Safarenesendo, Ekreste, Camino, Corata, Kiasu, Kusiva, Kalito, Sulihe, Metis, Ephratis, te mosu, tihen, tihis, ekres, tu prash, tu pron, tias, gi, taka, mata, mara, matakara, matakara, batokuri, atakama, nekisekere, de esti, paramos, tu kurias, eproshendo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. Father, we thank you because you are just opening a door to us, Spirit. There's more to be seen in understanding of this redemption, this mystery of redemption. Father, I pray that you will help our hearts and help the conditioning of our hearts, Father, to be able to receive the appropriation of these truths, O God. That you would take them and establish them within us and cause the grace which these things are ought to impart. May those grace flood our hearts, O God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. In this season, guard us, keep
Amen.
Us. Father, may the remembrance of Christ be fresh within us, O God. And may that remembrance create such energy within us to be able to make a push, oh God, a thrust more further into life and into receiving the purpose for which he came. Thank you, our Father. We pray, oh God, in this season that redemption will happen.
Amen.
That in this season you will redeem us more.
Amen.
We will be more redeemed, oh God.
Amen.
That daily, oh God, as we are remembering the Lord, as we are carrying him in our heart and keeping him and meditating upon him, that the revelation of his life that comes to us will create ability to rise above darkness, to rise above sin, to rise above death. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the glory. We worship you tonight. We bless your holy name. We ask you will take us tonight. We spend some time here, but Father, we ask you will refresh in us. And Father, we ask, oh God, you will give us so much blessing in the spirit, oh God, and so much joy in our heart, oh God. Thank you, Father. Keep us in your word and in your will. In Jesus' name, we pray.
You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between